today on Real Radio.
God is using a physical, actual, factual reality to teach us a spiritual truth. And I want to ask you as you go through this study, which descendant are you from? One who just believes in God and all that he's done? Or one who just believes that God is real, but you must do all that you can to accompany your salvation in works?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Believer's Birthplace, continues in his series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 4 today, verses 21 through 31. How can we who are sinful by nature come to God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through his gospel of grace. The gospel of grace will always be under attack. You know, naturally in our minds, we do things to get noticed, and so often we end up choosing a gospel of good works based on our own human standards. We then burden ourselves with trying to achieve a certain status or to gain the approval of church leaders. But God's gospel of grace has only one requirement, and that is to simply believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that every believer has a family tree, so we need to decide which son of Abraham we're establishing our faith in. Are we bound in the legalism of Ishmael, or are we embracing the path of promise given to Isaac? And now, continuing his lesson called The Believer's Birthplace, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Heaven is liberated. It is a place filled with people who have been set free by the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a place where your desire is fulfilled in God, that you will live and move and be in Him in absolute perfection. All the things that pull on you and I now will be washed away completely. We'll be free. And that freedom, that, as I would say this morning, eternal Sabbath is available to us right now. And legalism will be the very thing that will pull that away from your life. And the Galatian believers were fighting and struggling for that in their Christian experience. The first thing that we see this morning, verse 21, Paul says this, "Tell me." Listen to his wonderful sarcasm. I love it. "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law. Do you hear what the law is saying? Do you hear it? Are you listening to it? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman." Abraham had a son by Hagar, and he also had a son by Sarah. "But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise." Which things are symbolic? "For these things are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children." I'll explain that later. It gets confusing. "But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, 'Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband.' Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? 'Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir of the son of the free woman.' So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." See, Jack, what is he talking about? Well, it's interesting that Paul assumes that his Galatian audience knows a little bit about the Old Testament. Class, listen up. For you and I to clearly and properly understand the Bible, to come out on the other end with true doctrine that it's not an error, listen, we have to read the Old Testament. The Old Testament is, as it were, technicolor paintings of New Testament truth. Whatever is revealed in the New Testament is concealed in the Old. But when you get into the New Testament, the Old Testament paints us events and story pictures of New Testament truth. Example, spiritual warfare. Study all about the book of Joshua. And you'll learn a lot about spiritual warfare found in Ephesians chapter 6. How will you ever understand the book of Revelation? Pastor, beats me. I don't get it. You know why you don't get it? Because you've never read the Old Testament. You'll never understand the book of Revelation unless you've read the Old Testament. And you'll never understand the book of Revelation unless you've read Daniel for sure. The book of Hebrews? Oh, yeah, I've read that book. Cool book. You want to really understand the book of Hebrews? Then read the book of Leviticus. That's its counterpart. It's very exciting. What is in the Old Testament speaks about the new. For example, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Paul says, whatever things were written in the Old Testament were written for our learning, that we through patience might inherit the promises. And I want to stress that word patience. Why do I bring it up? You know the story, don't you, about what we're reading here today? We've got Father Abraham. We're all acquainted with him. We've been going through this book together. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. Remember that? That's us. We believe in the Lord. That's us. He had a wife. Remember her name? Her name was what?
Sarah.
And God said, while he was married to Sarah, God said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you with a son. Now, people, this is a great story because what's the big deal? When someone has conceived a child, that's a miracle of God anyway. I mean, I don't even care if Charles Darwin had kids. The very God he denied blessed them. God gives life. So God says to Abraham, you're going to have a kid. So what's big about that? I'll tell you what's big about that. He was old, really old. Sarah, she was a spunky 90-year-old. How old? 90. God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you with a boy. Abraham, he's radical, isn't he? He's the father of our faith. He goes, all right. He believed God. Okay, you can do anything, God. When the Lord appeared and spoke unto Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you, Sarah was in her tent. We don't know what she was doing, but she's in her tent. She hears the Lord talking to Abraham. Wouldn't that have been something to hear? And the Lord says, I'm going to bless you with a kid, with a child. You know what Sarah did? That's right. She laughed. She's in the tent. She's yucking it up, man. She's laughing. And the Lord, he's talking to Abraham, and then he says, Sarah, why are you laughing? She goes, ladies, listen to this. She goes, I wasn't laughing. He goes, I heard you laugh. She goes, I didn't laugh. He goes, no, but you did laugh. And she goes, oh. She didn't believe him. And the Lord says, you're going to have a son. And Sarah, scripture records this. She says, shall I, being an old woman, have pleasure again and bring forth a son? Well, frankly, no. Not in the human scale of things. Uh-uh. Ain't going to happen. You look over at your sweetie. He's only 100 years old. And he's getting older by the minute. Look at him. Abraham, you look old. He could look at her and say, you know what, sweetie, you look good. You look fine. Remember, the Bible says she looked fine. She's a really good-looking older lady. Remember that? Abraham could have said, you know what, honey, you're really fine. But the truth of the matter is our, we've dried up, sweetheart. It's over for us. They're old. But God says, I'm going to bless you. And this is the way it's going to come about. I'm going to do it. God says, I'm going to do this. Well, Abraham says, it's going to have to be you. It's going to be God. And he believed in God. Sarah, yeah, I don't know where she was at. I don't know if she ever really fully believed until it all manifested itself before her. Because as years went on, what happened? There's still no boy. Sarah has got a servant, young girl by the name of Hagar. And like many things in our own lives, we don't want to wait on God. And Sarah, she must have woken up some morning and had enough. You know, when was Abraham gonna, just hug and kiss on her and cuddle with her. And when was this thing going to happen? I mean, you know, it's got to start somewhere. Maybe if Abraham put his arm around her waist, you know, or around her arm. Oh, could this be the night? God had given the promise, you're going to get pregnant and have a kid. But when was that going to happen? How was it going to happen? Did they ever look at each other with a sparkle in their eye and then forget why they had a sparkle in their eye? They were old. Sarah finally says, I've had enough of this. You take my maid, take her out, you know, do your thing. And when she gets pregnant, we'll make that be our boy. Now, listen, to cut them some slack, in that culture, that was completely acceptable to a childless home. That was normal back in those days. There was no sin involved. It was sin now, but it wasn't then. There was no law then. It was the culture. Hagar conceives. She's pregnant. The child's born. His name's Ishmael. He's growing up, and Abraham is so happy with that boy. Sarah, she's quite upset. But Abraham's happy with the boy. It seems like the plan's been pulled off. God didn't do it quick enough. Maybe God wanted us to do it this way, and it's all cool. It's all okay with God. And then as Abraham's there with his boy, God says, hi, Abraham, I'm going to bless you with a son. And Abraham said, okay, oh, that Ishmael might live before you forever, Lord. And God said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I told you I was going to bless you with a boy. Now time has come. I'm going to bless you with a boy. And Sarah becomes pregnant. That is a miracle. It was impossible. She's pregnant. A child is born by the name of Isaac. His name means what? Laughter. And the children grow up together. And then at the age of 3 years of age, it's time for Isaac to be weaned from Sarah. And the day of his weaning, says the Bible, Ishmael hated him and began to attack him, began to persecute him, began to war against him. And those two nations grew up. And you know those nations much more than you think. Those nations grew up, those people grew up and produced vast amounts of people. The descendants of Ishmael are known today as the Arab peoples. The descendants of Isaac today are known as the Hebrew people. And way back then, God said, God prophesied in Genesis that there would be war between them. Keep that in mind as we get into this study. God is using a physical, actual, factual reality to teach us a spiritual truth. And I want to ask you as you go through this study, which descendant are you from? One who just believes in God and all that He's done? Or one who just believes that God is real, but you must do all that you can to accompany your salvation in works? Very, very interesting. Note this, verses 21 to 23, we learn this, that every believer has a family tree. We do. Note this, he says in verse 21, he says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you know or do you hear the law? Are you listening to what it's saying? He says, the law teaches you this, verses 22 and 23, that there's two sons. That's where you must come if you're going to embrace the law. Christian, if you're going to get legalistic, or non-Christian, if you think you're going to impress God with your good works, consider this. Have you heard what the law says? Man, I wish I could see Paul teach this, because he's using very dramatic language. You could see him almost put his hands on his robes with a sassy attitude. You guys want to keep the law? Tell me. You who desire to be under the law, what do you hear the law saying to you? See, if you're going to be legalistic, think it all the way through. If you're going to establish a bunch of rules and regulations that can impress heaven, follow that logic all the way through. And you'll come to this reality that in our family tree, in our lives, all of us together, we have a checkered past. We have a past that has sin in it. That's what Paul is saying in verse 21. You want to embrace the law? Then you're going to come to the realization that you can't keep the law. So you better count the cost before you embark upon this trip. The second thing is, you better watch out, because you're going to find out that you are leaving the son of promise and you are embracing the son of performance. Which one will it be? Well, we come from a checkered past. That's what's implied in verse 21. But also this, verses 22 to 23 teaches us that there's a message of hope. Because now God introduces to their ears again, there's a path of legalism and there's a path of promise. Which one will you embrace in your life? And people, I got to tell you, there's nothing worse than somebody living their spiritual existence under a legalistic requirement. There's nothing that will quench you more. In fact, I believe this, that many, many Christians would be, could be so dynamic, so on fire, so radical for God if they would have the chains of the ancient yoke broken from their lives. The do's and the don'ts of following God. This is how we follow God. You do not smoke, and you do not chew, and you do not go with girls who do. You will do this, that, and the other. We don't do this. We wear our hair like that, and you'll never be caught on that. All these rules. And listen, some of those rules might even be good, but here's the problem with who we are. We, the moment we perform rule number one, we go, I got rule number one. Did you do rule number one? You didn't? I did. I'm going to go for number two. And then you do number two, and you know what happens? Boink. Your nose goes up a little higher, your head gets a little bigger, and you just kind of strut a little bit. I'm a Christian. And you're self-righteous. You're like a Pharisee. You're keeping these rules, and you're obtaining them, and you think that God's impressed with that. That's not how the Lord works in our lives. Not at all. In these two branches, so to speak, there's only one that we can climb if we're going to make it to heaven. And the truth is, we don't climb it physically. We experience it by the grace of God. And that's the path through Sarah. That's the path through Isaac. Why? Because it was impossible. Abraham was with Hagar. She got pregnant. She brings forth a kid, good intentions, but all natural. All normal. It didn't involve God at all. Hagar got pregnant, had nothing to do with God. For Sarah to get pregnant, that would be a miracle. And that's the descendants that we come from. Impossible things. Christian, are you involved in an impossible thing right now in your life? That's because you're a descendant of Isaac. You're a child of Abraham. The situation seems so impossible. It seems so hard. We'll never make it. It can't be done. God shows up and, so to speak, rolls up his sleeves of his robe and says, well, here I am. It's what I do. I'm not the God of legalism. I'm the God of life. Now, what's the situation in your life that you think's impossible? That's when I show up the biggest. I love that kind of moment. I'm God. And through it, you're going to learn how great I am. He loves that. We so often, listen, everybody, we so often don't even allow ourselves to get into a challenging situation. We just stay a boring little pew potato because we don't want anything to happen. Because we're afraid if we do something for the Lord, he's not going to bless it. It won't happen. And we've already got the whole scenario worked out. We don't want to experience failure and thus rejection and defeat. So we calculate everything. We protect ourselves and we stay home. And God's going, okay, here we go. All right, this is the agenda for today. It's Monday. It's, you know, what's Monday? July 8th, right? Tomorrow? July 8th. It's July 8th, Monday. I want you to go forward. I want you to do this. And we're like going, what? What? No, he wants us to go with them. But God, what if I fail? No, come on, come on. He wants us to go with them. The whole scenario of the spiritual life is an impossible thing. The sooner we realize that, the sooner we can get on our way and do impossible things for God. It's very encouraging. Look at verses 24 to 29. We see here that we're challenged to grow up. To grow up in the Lord. He says, these things are symbolic. That's key to understanding what he's teaching us here. For these are two covenants. Isaac, Ishmael. Sarah, Hagar. They're two covenants. The one is from Mount Sinai. Remember what happened there, anybody? The giving of the law to Moses, which gives birth to bondage. That's Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Listen, this is very strange. And it correlates or corresponds to Jerusalem, which is in bondage with their children. We need to pause right there. What is he talking about? I almost have to do this with my hands. Sorry, I'm not articulate enough to just say it. Mount Sinai is where God gave the law. It's where man was given the law, the Ten Commandments, the first five books of the Bible. God gives his scripture to show mankind, at that time Israel, how he's holy and they are not, how humans are not. The perfect law was given on Mount Sinai to show man of his failure. God is holy, we are unholy. He's perfect, we are imperfect. The law correlates with Mount Sinai, the birthplace of the law. That correlates with human performance. Everybody get that? Human performance, trying to keep the law that was given on Mount Sinai, correlates to human activity, human effort. That correlates to Hagar and Ishmael. Why? Ishmael and Hagar were symbolic announcements of fleshly works. The scripture teaching us here this clearly. The result of that is Jerusalem in Paul's day, which is the same Jerusalem today in our day, that is a Jerusalem that has not yet been liberated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a Jerusalem bound in what? Legalism today, to this very hour right now. 2002, Jerusalem is still bound in legalism. That's why the scripture says that she, Jerusalem, is bound with her children. In what? In Hagarism, in Sinaiism, in bondage, legalism.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Believer's Birthplace. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you stay on the path of grace and that you don't rely on your own human efforts. The Believer's Birthplace. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds, for we are justified through faith, and not of our works should any of us boast. Today was day two of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's an idea for Valentine's Day. We'd like to tell you about a resource that we think you're really going to like. It's the Real Marriage DVD set. It's a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a happy and God-honoring marriage. All led by our very own Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, Real Marriage brings you an honest, biblically-based conversation on the issues that married couples deal with on a daily basis. This DVD set is amazing for any married couple. So to celebrate Valentine's Day, we want to offer you the Real Marriage DVD set for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get your copy of the Real Marriage DVD set. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. These books are going to inspire you and help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the Book of the Month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's Book of the Month, and that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Check it out right away. Hey, did you know that if you've missed any episodes of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that we have you taken care of? There are so many ways to catch up. You can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet, or you can visit us on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.